Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire interwebs, which, if we all remember Digimon the movie, that's pretty expansive. Digimon told us how expansive the interwebs is. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. Never seen Digimon.
What?
And it's a beautiful day for a podcast.
We're adding that to the list this weekend. Patreon content.
So
Kelsey watches Digimon. Yeah, we're not going to have any. We don't even get to sleep. No sleeping this weekend. Goodness. Also, I wanted to share with you, I didn't want to tell you this beforehand because I don't remember what your thoughts on this are, but I've got just a big old glass of whole milk that I'm going to drink through this podcast. I just love
by
a whole
itself?
Milk.
Like you don't have like Oreos or anything with it? All right, you guys. Well, it's been 1 minute, so it's time to ask the question. Where's Kate Middleton? Because it's been a week. I swear to fucking God, people are out here like, oh, they released that video of her at the market with William. My ass, is that her? And honestly, it might not be William either.
It's two just paid actors. It's stunt body doubles.
No. Here's the thing. Number one, that was not released by the palace. So people are like, oh, do you think they hired body doubles? No, because that was released by TMZ. Mm. Now, TMZ, while wildly unethical and truly as an organization, a garbage group of people, is unfortunately oftentimes correct with their information. However, this time, not so much. Mm. Okay, so this video, first of all, looks like it was shot in 2004 on a flip phone.
Yep, love it.
Here are all of my issues with this video. Welcome to Grey's Anatomy. Kelsey finds Kate Middleton.
Yeah, if you don't want to talk about this, which
you're
is fine, it's your prerogative.
Probably at least 3 minutes. At least 3 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
And then there's bullshit that we'll talk about after that. And I've got a surprise that I'm texting Kelsey that we're going to talk through. So yeah, just, you know what? Skip to where the ad break is in the middle of the episode.
Skip to part two and we'll talk about Grey's Anatomy. Okay. So here's the thing. First of all, they released that video. The quality is garbage. Second of all, she has been quote unquote missed. Like she hasn't been seen in public since December, right? It's March. We're approaching the 90 days mark of no proof of life. And you're going to tell me that all these people around her are just sitting there. No one's even like giving a second glance. First of all, she hasn't been seen. And second of all, it's the prince and princess. So they're not even like going to acknowledge that they are there. And I know that they do their own shopping. Like there are many like reported outings of them shopping, but I find it questionable that they would be out and about without security. That seems strange to me.
So I haven't seen this video, so I have nothing to go off of.
Okay.
But here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Number one, wholeheartedly agree that they wouldn't go out without security. Basically, I'm just going to defer to everything Kelsey says on this as I'll agree with it because I'm not as well educated on this. My beef with this is, and this is just kind of my thought overall about the whole topic, if they know that the world is asking, can't they just put a picture out? Just do a live, right. Like have her hold up a newspaper, say, hey guys, it's me. Mm-hmm. See, I'm here with the newspaper. Why do you think they haven't done this? Why do you think that she hasn't addressed the world as a human yet?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good question, Carmen. And let me tell you why. Because I have a weird fascination with the royal family. I'm not going to say like obsession because I'm not. It's definitely not always positive, especially like in the more recent years with everything with Diana and then Harry and Meghan. Like, I think they abuse people and like mistreat people in a lot of ways. But I still am fascinated by the existence of them because they aren't in any way ruling, right? England is run by a parliament.
They're ruling like a figurehead, but they're not ruling. Like you rule.
They have no like political like authority anymore. Right. It's like mostly figureheads and like, right. So we don't have anything like that. So it is really, I think that's why I am fascinated by it because what it is now is not at all what it was. I like how you said you were going to drink that milk over the course of the episode and it's already gone.
It was delicious. I'm so sorry.
That's so fucking weird. Okay. So
this episode was brought to you by milk.
By the car, that singular glass of milk. So anyways, the point of it is that typically they would not address anything like that because for at least as long as Elizabeth was running the show, which was when it was going up slightly better, at least, the like party line was don't explain and don't complain. So like you don't have to explain yourself to like news outlets, but you also aren't allowed to complain about your life to news outlets. Those were like, that's the thing that's always been said. So that's one why it was like a red flag when she released a statement where she was like, oops, sorry, I photo edited. Cause I'm like, okay, you've never explained yourselves before and you've done way worse shit than this. And so it was weird. So if they hadn't done that part, then it's like, okay, yeah, they're not going to explain where she is because they never explain anything. But now they're like in this weird in between where they are explaining some things and they're not explaining all the other things. So it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of theories that something bigger is going on with Charles. And this is like, they're letting, this blow up to cover that up. There are people that think he's not dying. Well, first of all, there are a lot of people that think he died over the weekend.
Everyone is dying.
I don't think he died over the weekend. There are people that think he is closer to death than originally thought. And so he's going to abdicate the throne. I don't know why they would have to like have this whole thing to like, quote unquote, cover it up because just abdicate the throne. Like that's a normal thing. It's happened before. Like you have an heir ready to go. So it doesn't make sense as to why they would need to like create a distraction. Anyways, it's wild. Many, many, many things. Hopefully by the next time we record, she will be confirmed to be okay.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
That's all I want for her. Anyways, here's my other thing with TMZ. First of all, they can fuck right off. And second of all, they released that video yesterday. I just sent it to you. And it looks like shit.
I'm not going to watch it now, but fine. I will watch it later.
And then today, they have a new article that's like, internet bursting with theories about Kate not really being in the video. And I'm like, you posted a clickbait to follow up with your own clickbait. And now one of their producers
is
basically saying, yeah, we have no proof of that video being like a legitimate thing. There are people that were dissecting it and they're like, look, in the background of the market, there are Christmas lights up. So it might not have even been from this weekend, if it even is them. I'm like, you guys
kind of genius though. It's great. I mean, they got a great marketing. Yeah. They're shit, but they have great marketers.
Yeah, no, they know how to get you to click on shit. That's for sure. But yeah, I will say TMZ as an organization, absolute trash. But unfortunately, they do get a lot of information correct a lot of times.
Silly.
Anyways,
silly.
Okay. So moving forward, cannot spend that much time on it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Check your phone real quick. Okay, I got a surprise to show you. I'm sending a picture, but apparently my phone wants to like just take absolutely forever to send this. The little blue line. Okay, there we go. It should have sent.
Sometimes it's taunting.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ready for that this weekend?
We're having steak.
Yeah, I got some
makes
fucking
good steak, guys.
Fatties. They were half off at Jewel.
This
yeah,
is
well,
insane. Is there one for each of us? Or did you already have one?
No. The one that I got for myself is 1.62 pounds. And then the other one is 1.26 and then
I do not need a full pound of steak, but I will actually probably eat it, honestly.
Well, I mean, you could do whatever you want, but I figure the other two I got a little bit bigger, so we'll cut off a small piece of them for Marlo to have steak.
I guess that's allowed.
But that I'll almost 2-pounder will be for myself.
That's insane.
Also, we're watching all three of the Toy Stories. This is the last non-Grays thing that I'm going to say, like non-Grays podcast, anything related. Number four is so good. It got so much hate.
Yeah,
it might actually be my favorite. It might have knocked off number two.
Well, I don't like it very much.
I think there's, well, this is probably another episode of Patreon, like Disney Pixar Rumble movie situation. Mm-hmm. Also, did I tell you that I was talking to someone the other day who said that their favorite Pixar movie is The Good Dino? And I said, what the fuck is wrong with you? The Good
Dinosaur.
Maybe.
Maybe it would be all of our favorites if any of us watched him. None of us have ever watched it, so we don't know.
Add that to the list this weekend. All right, we've got some shout outs to get through very quickly.
We do. We got, I got the sweetest email from Sarah.
Oh.
And she is a new listener, so she's not quite caught up yet. She is close. She's in the middle of the Izzy and Denny ghost sex.
Okay.
She makes a good point, and so I wanted to mention this to you so we could talk it through live on air.
Okay.
She said that she doesn't ever feel like there is clarity on whether Denny is a ghost or a hallucination because for the most part, they really like align that he is a hallucination. However, there is like a couple of scenes where Izzy leaves a room and he like kind of looks at someone else or like talks to Alex. I mean, obviously the other person doesn't respond. But she said because of the way they present the afterlife in the episodes where Meredith is dead, she says she feels that it's unclear which way it could be taken. And I do think they mean it to be a hallucination exclusively, but I think she makes good points, especially with the way the afterlife has previously been established in Shondaland.
Yeah, especially because the afterlife that they had created, it was like a separate universe almost, where they didn't see other people, but he was able to feel when they had crossed.
Yeah, that's what she says. One of the greatest scenes ever on TV of Izzy and Denny quote unquote touching.
Yeah.
And then her and George meeting in the elevator when they're both dead at the same time.
When you said Izzy and Denny meeting in the hallway and touching, I actually just got goosebumps.
Literally same.
Like, I need to just rewatch that.
It's like, I mean, it's such a short moment, but oh my God, what it
does. And that was the last time that we loved Izzy. Everything since then has just kind of...
It was the last time that Denny's appearance was pleasant.
I'm here for you, Izzy Stevens.
Oh, and so she said, does that afterlife connect to Izzy or is it just her Swiss cheese for brains?
Mm. Also, you know, actually, hold on. Maybe the whole point of why it was connecting is if he was blending the line, maybe we were getting two different versions of Denny. We were getting hallucination Denny that like wouldn't interact with people. And the times that it would, it was Izzy bringing him into this life because she's about to die and the Grim Reaper is about to take her home. So maybe there were two different Dennys going on. Maybe there were simultaneous things happen where it was Denny from the afterlife visiting as well as Denny, the hallucination.
That's possible. I think the writers mean it to be just a hallucination. However, I think because of things that are previously established specifically with that character, it does make it kind of easy for us to be like, now listen.
Yeah.
What about X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
But anyways, it was just a really insightful email. She has two young kids. They're about the same ages as Scarly and Benny. And she decided to do another Grey's rewatch in her postpartum time and then stumbled upon the podcast. And now she will watch an episode and then listen to one of our episodes. And
as you should.
She's been enjoying it. So, Sarah, thank you so much for reaching out. I cannot wait for you to get current and hear this discussion about your insightful take.
Yes, Sarah, we enjoy you. Also, shout out to all of you listeners. We have been consistently, again, remaining in that top 100 spot for quite some time now in the after shows genre. So really appreciate the love and the trust and the support and, you know, trusting that we want to create a show that's good enough for you on a day in and day out and binge worthy basis, as well as on our TGIT days. So with that being said, we should probably talk about a podcast. And maybe at some point I'll tell you guys all about my car that died.
Oh, good God. It's been a rough time everywhere.
It's been wild. I do have a rental car though now.
Oh, is it a good rental car?
Yeah. The Firestone's paying for it, actually.
Good.
They're giving me a free rental car.
But what kind of rental car is it?
Kia Forte.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's not my forte, but.
Nice. Okay. Let's talk about this episode.
Let's do it.
This is episode 17 of the sixth season. It is episode 119 overall, and it is called Push, and that's a song.
Push is a song off of the album The Head on the Door, which is by the band The Cure. So real quickly on this song, good song. It's about 4 minutes, but you don't get any singing in it until about 2.5 minutes in. So a lot of instrumental, very cool. This song is a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
And it is the lyrics aren't that great, but it's just kind of melodic. It was very reminiscent of like an Angels and Airwaves or like a U2 with like these long introductions and kind of has like this build and this fun anthematic kind of a feel to it. Mm-hmm. But the song itself did not chart. The song itself was not one of the singles. It did not do very well, but the album itself is the sixth album by The Cure, and it was released on August 30th, 1985. And the singles from that specific album were In Between Days and Close to Me. I wasn't aware. I wasn't familiar with either of those songs off the top of my head. But the album itself did chart in a number of different countries. So it reached number 59 on the U.S. Billboard 200. It reached as high as top 10 in the U.K. And in Australia. So it just barely missed in New Zealand. It was number 11 in New Zealand. So overall, good album. Good song. I'll have to listen to the album. And it was apparently one of the more poppy versions for The Cure. So, but it's very 80s. It's a very 80s song. So
yeah.
With that, that's all I got.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for that. And this episode, excuse me, was written by Deborah Kahn, who we've seen many times before, and directed by none other than Chandra Wilson.
Now, Chandra!
This episode apparently was not originally slated for her to direct, but they had a different director lined up, and something happened, and that director fell through. So she stepped up to do it. Obviously, this is a pretty big episode for Dr. Bailey, so she was quite busy doing those like bigger scenes with her and Callie and her and Dr. Warren, and then also directing when she wasn't on set or on screen rather. So
that's pretty impressive.
Amazing.
Actually.
She's amazing. What a queen. Yeah. Like in literally every way. Okay. This episode aired March 11th, 2010 to 10.94 million views.
Not enough. Not enough.
Truly. The Netflix synopsis for this one is a patient who needs an extremely difficult surgery comes to Seattle Grace, and Richard and Owen vie for the opportunity to tackle it. And now for a new segment.
Oh, this is a complete shock to me. I have no idea what's going to happen.
They've recently put all 19 current seasons of Grey's Anatomy on Hulu. And I checked right before we started recording, and it is a different synopsis.
Yo.
So we are also going to add the Hulu synopsis, and then we'll decide who did a better job.
Okay.
Okay, so the Hulu synopsis is Owen and Richard compete for an extremely difficult surgery. So
give me the next Netflix one more time. I think Netflix is better. I think Netflix has my vote, but I need to hear it one more time.
Yeah. One second. I scrolled away from it. Come on. Okay. The Netflix one was a patient who needs an extremely difficult surgery comes to Seattle Grace, and Richard and Owen vie for the opportunity to tackle it versus Owen and Richard compete for an extremely difficult surgery. So both of them are really only focusing on the one thing, I will say.
Yeah, I think Netflix just gonna give a little bit of the edge to it.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you? Any thoughts? Different?
I feel like Hulu because I don't know why. I'm like, when the Netflix is like, oh, a patient comes to Seattle Grace, I'm like, it kind of seems like she's been there for a while. You're just making it sound more dramatic.
I like it.
But anyways, well, so we'll be doing that now. Now that they are both on Hulu and Netflix. So exciting things for us.
I love Hulu and we're rewatching White Collar. Hulu. So I need to really be careful to not get the spoilies.
Yeah, because I will say I have seen many, many different ads for Grey's on Hulu and they hit you immediately with huge spoilers. Like within a singular second.
Have the spoilers or the trailers for Grey's been in ads for other shows?
Not
that's
that
what
I've
I'm most
seen,
concerned
but,
about.
Well, I don't watch a lot of Hulu. I'm going to be honest. I watch like Private Practice on Hulu and I don't feel like I get many ads for Grey's, but that was before they added it. I haven't watched since they added it. I was mostly getting like Progressive commercials or other car commercials. Or there was some movie that they were playing a million commercials for.
Do you think if they spoil our show, we can sue them for damages?
Well, here's the thing, Carmen, about America is you can sue anybody for anything. That doesn't mean you should.
Well, I'm gonna sue them. If they ruin the podcast and steal joy from the tens of thousands of millions of listeners at home.
Wow. Old.
I'm just saying that it would be stealing joy out of the brains of people across the world.
Anyways,
with all of our international listeners, this would be an international case.
We're praying that Carmen doesn't get spoiled by Hulu.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, let's get into it then, shall we?
We shall.
Okay. Let's start with Owen and Weber and Audrey. Their patient
like
is
that.
Audrey. Okay. So Owen is already treating this patient. She has come. It doesn't say, or if it did say, I missed it, what the original cancer was that she had. But she
I don't think they did.
Has had chemotherapy, brachytherapy, external radiation, and then they elect to do the surgery ultimately. But she has an abdominal tumor the size of a football. And she doesn't want to do surgery because she feels like she won't make it out of surgery. She thinks she will certainly die if she has surgery. And the reason she keeps asking them to just keep her alive for 1 month because her daughter's getting married in a month and she wants to be at the wedding. So that's kind
of
which
I feel like is kind of TV tropey a little bit. This is not the first time that I think I've seen that. I think Scrubs has done something like this. House probably has done something like this. I don't know.
I think Private Practice did something similar where they just wanted to keep a guy alive long enough to meet the baby. But then he was like, spoilers, they didn't think he was going to make it, but she still had like 4 weeks, but they were like, we'll just deliver early. And I was like, that is wild.
Problematic. To say the least.
So yeah, it's line crossing for sure. But anyways, we'll get there eventually.
My favorite part about that show is they just have people disagree for the sake of disagreeing, regardless of if it makes sense for their character development or arc at all. Because I don't know. We'll talk about that. That's Patreon.
We'll definitely, yeah. We'll
this
definitely,
week.
There's
we need
a lot
to rewatch
to
one of those episodes.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack with Private Practice for sure. I will say on Private Practice, a lot of people don't like it because Naomi specifically is very anti-abortion. But again, we'll get more into that when we get into Private Practice. But that is one critique of the show that I've heard a lot.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So Weber hears Owen talking to the woman and her husband about the tumor and like the surgery possibilities and what they're going to be doing moving forward, if anything. And Weber's like, oh, mind if I take this case? Like, I'm just so old and sad. Just might die before I ever get to have another tumor in my life. And Owen's like, oh, you poor old man. You poor old alcoholic man.
Poor old.
Here you go.
Recovering alcoholic.
And Christina's sitting there like, you are the dumbest person I have ever laid my eyes on.
She said, you got played, motherfucker. And he's walking away. He's like, ha, this young bitch. She don't know shit. Like,
practically skipping down the hall.
Yeah.
So Christina's like, what are you doing? And so she tells Owen, like, he fucked you to take that case. And so Owen chases him down and he's like, hey, can I maybe have that back? And Rapper's like, what? You just gave this to me. What are you doing?
They go back and forth.
Yeah, they go back and forth about what to, like, what the even are you going to do with the patient? And Weber's like, well, you need to make this plan. And Owen says, well, that's, you know, like the old way to do it. And Richard's like, oh, now I'm old. Now you're calling me old. And Owen says, like, no, let's not, you know, make this personal. That's, and Weber goes, you just did, Ginger. Jesus
when
Christ.
when he says yes, you know what you're trying to do, Weber, it's all cool, it's good, but like it's a bit of an old school approach. And he went right to it. He's like, so I'm old, but you're a redhead, so look in the mirror, buddy. Which is worse? Would you rather be old or a redhead? Weber, calm down.
Oh, good God. So then they're kind of bickering and going back and forth. Derek and Meredith come up and Derek's like, can I help you? Like, what's going on? And they say they're trying, you know, they tell him what's going on. And he's like, why don't you work together on it? And Christina says, well, the Harper Avery only goes to one person, which feels like it could be easily changed, because surely in like the field of medical research, it's not just one person. Like, it would be a team of people, right?
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, yeah, Burke could win the Harper Avery, but he's got a group of people with him in the surgery.
Anytime anybody does surgery, they're not doing it alone. Like, yes, there's always a lead surgeon. But again, like with the research and other stuff, I'm like, there's so many people that would be working. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But so that's Derek says, OK, well, why don't you both come up with a plan and present it to me? And then I'll like pick who is better, basically. And Christina immediately, I'm with Weber.
Yeah, he says, Christina and Meredith will scrub in. You guys pick sides, whatever happens. I really thought she was like, dang, she really just does not care. She has no allegiance to anyone. Which
she has
ultimately,
allegiance to Christina Yang.
Yeah. But then when she walks away and Hunt's like, dude, what the fuck was that? And she's like, you got a spy on the inside named Hercules Mulligan. Yeah. So that was funny. And Weber is this episode. I have a word for this episode. Okay. Mm-hmm. The word is cunning. Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Because Weber is cunning. He calls out Yang and he's like, so I've got this idea and I could let you scrub in on it, or I could just kick you off, you traitorous bitch. And she's like, whoa,
spicy.
And he flips her. And we'll get into Meredith, but Meredith also this episode is cunning.
Episode.
Yeah, she is. They don't show how smart she really is, I think, enough, but she was like wicked on it this episode with Hunt, with at the table with Weber, with Mark, like she was on all of it, and I just but Weber surprised me in that moment when he caught it right away.
Yeah. Also, he's like, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm like, do you need to be doing this for a long time to figure out that she would fuck you over because for the man she's sleeping with? Because I feel like that's kind of a no-brainer. Like, obviously, if she's sleeping with him and then says she's going to work with you, you would have pause, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought that was funny.
But the Weber name seems to carry a little bit more clout than the Hunt name. So she could also genuinely be like, hey, listen, Owen, love you. Sorry, not sorry.
That's
you know?
True, too, especially because of who she is.
And Harper Avery specifically asked for Weber, you know,
that's true.
So she could be seeing that as her in.
Absolutely. So then what happens next? I lost my spot. Oh, Nope, that's something else. Sorry, I lost my
After notes. That, okay. No, you're good. After that, so after he flips her, Christina pulls, or I think there was the conversation at the lunch table, I think, happened after
Well,
that.
Yeah, well, and they talked to Audrey about...
Why she wants the money.
That's when she explains, like, oh, I just want to stay alive until my daughter's wedding. And Owen's like, well, honestly, like, if you don't try the surgery, you might not make it a month, so... And that's when she says, well, like, I can't wait to hear your plans or whatever. And then, yeah, we have the thing about the lunch table. Just so funny. Christina and Meredith are eating. Lexi comes over. Weird episode for Lexi, but we'll get to there. She's like, and she's like, I just don't understand why Mark can't get over me. And Christina's like, you're just too good, little Gray.
They can't quit you, little Gray.
And she just gets up and leave, and Meredith just goes, you clear the room every time.
That's so funny.
And then Owen comes over and is talking to Meredith, and Christina's like, eavesdropping or whatever, and asking questions, and they're like, and Meredith goes, well, what's the word from the other side? And Chris says, hard to say.
Weber's flailing about.
He's just like floundering and like doing, he's just so, it's sad, really. It's what it is. He's just sad. And then she's like, I gotta go, and just leaves. And they immediately are like, well, obviously she's, you know, being shady to us.
Yeah. And I like, the precursor to that is Hunt is like, yeah, I'm gonna do this and this, which later on in the episode when they're presenting the plans, and Weber's like, it's not a plan, it's just improv comedy. And when, like, he clearly has a plan, he presented something, and you could say, I'm gonna do this and this, but then also this is a train wreck, so who knows, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Weber's just too by the book.
It is, you know, and this has been discussed in this show more than once about people getting too comfortable and like being hesitant to learn new techniques or like change the way even they just look at a case. So I definitely think that kind of falls in line with this storyline. Yeah. I will say, I think Owen's plan is mostly like, yeah, when I get in there, I'll see what's what. But he also is probably has, if it is A, then I'll do one. If it is B, I'll do two. If it is C, I'll do three. You know what I mean? Like, there's still something. It's just, you can't be like, and then I'll make this cut, and then I'll make this cut. Because if you have a situation where you can't get a perfectly clear picture of like how everything looks, then how are you going to make a plan for what to do?
Right.
Like,
you're not.
Also, there has to be some flexibility in surgery, because even if you have a like super well thought out plan that Richard has, if you get in and literally anything goes wrong, any good surgeon is going to have to like pivot and solve whatever problem comes forward.
Yeah.
So there, every surgeon is going to have that element of improbability.
Yeah. It, it's definitely, and we'll talk more about it, in just a moment. I think we should take a quick, break for a message from our regional sponsors, and we'll be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back. To your point, it's interesting because there's a scene after this that I want to really talk about, because it's that scene where Derek actually selects the plan. Mm-hmm. I had just kind of like a very interesting thought that I wanted to share with you. But with the table scene, they keep coming back to Alex being the reason. Like, Alex is the wrong choice. No one wants to talk about that. Neither Mark or Lexi are really addressing their feelings of abandonment, and they haven't gone through all the stages of grief for their own relationship. Right. We do see kind of
a full arc from Mark where he's coming out a little bit on the positive side.
Right.
But Lexi has been pushing her feelings down to the wayside for so long in a different kind of way, a suppression in a not healthy way, that it all comes out where you have to remind yourselves that, you know, she didn't want this relationship to be over. Neither of them wanted the relationship to be over. It just didn't make sense. So, but what did she say? She has to check into a convent. What was the phrasing around that? I don't remember what it was, but I wrote, he'll screw anything that moves, but I have to check into a She was mad because he was having sex with Alex.
No. I don't think he was having sex with Alex.
Sorry. He was mad because she was having sex with Alex.
Yep. There you go.
He'll screw anything that moves, but I have to check into a convent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
You're
when
just that
Christine,
good
yeah.
little gray. There's no getting over you. Anyways. Okay. So, right before they go in to meet with Derek, Christina's like, look who I have. It's Jackson Avery. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know. And they say, well,
he's here for Harper Avery bait.
Yeah. We can't put his name on it because he's not going to give it to his award. And he's like, no. He's just going to mention it over Thanksgiving dinner. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. And Christina's like, shh, yes, you are. So I just thought that was funny. And then they have the scene where we don't see Owen present his plan. He presents it first. And then we see like the tail end of Richard in introducing his plan. And he wants to open the chest, which is interesting to me, and go in that way. Ultimately, Derek chooses Owen and Richard does not take it very well.
Yeah. He gets really pissed off.
Yeah,
right off
the
bat.
Super mad. And he's like, you don't understand, like you as chief are just choosing things the way that you would do it. But that's not what being chief is about. Being chief is about seeing the big picture, and you don't have the vision to be the to have this job.
I've come up with a word.
OK,
I've come up with a word for this scene. Weber is not mansplaining, but he is chiefsplaining.
He is chiefsplaining.
So, yeah, when he says it takes vision and Derek clearly does not have that, whatever. Mm-hmm. So here's where the root of the issue was. And this is kind of, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about because it's very ironic to me. Weber was mad at Derek because Derek wanted to take the situation that aligned with what he would have done.
Right.
He would have taken a little bit more of an improvisational route. And Weber was more, quote unquote, old school, wanting to have a well thought out full plan in place. Mm-hmm. So Weber was mad that Derek chose a plan that aligned with what he would have done as a surgeon.
Right.
But then Weber was mad at Derek for not choosing the plan or acting in the way that he would have wanted someone to act as the chief.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Bit of a snake eating itself.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just very interesting to me. And I think Weber has some of that realization later, which we'll get to. But I was like, yeah, Weber is telling Derek how to do his job like he would because he is mad at that Derek is telling other people how to do their job like he would. So yeah. It's just frustrating.
Bit of a riddle.
Just dudes swinging penises around.
Measure them dicks.
Gotta measure the cocks.
So then we get the scene where Owen goes to Audrey and like tells her basically, you know, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to do it and just do it when I get in there. And she's very adverse to that potential quote unquote plan.
Yeah. She wants Weber's plan.
Yeah. And, there's some back and forth over it. And her husband finally is like, she says, you're gambling away my daughter's wedding. And her husband's like, you know what? I'm so done with this excuse. Like, I will get her down here. And like, they will get down here with the justice of the peace and get married right in front of you. And then we can just like, shut the fuck up about the wedding. and she starts to be like, what the hell? And he's like, you know what? You don't like weddings. You always complain. Kim will get mad at you because women always get angry at their mothers, not their weddings, because that's how they handle their stress. And then he says, do you think she cares about her wedding? Her mother is dying. They're trying to offer you a life, a whole life, and they can't guarantee it. And they're not going to know what they're going to find. And it's a gamble. But how can you not take that chance because of a wedding? There'll be grandkids and arguments and God knows what else. And she'll need you for those. And I'll need you. Which is very nice. And yeah. Then Richard backs Owen and says, your husband is right. And so is Dr. Hunt. He can't foresee what he'll find, but he'll solve it as it comes.
And I like that finally Weber's like, yeah, I mean, it took their argument for him to realize it, but you can't predict what's going to happen. I do have a question for you though, with this, mm-hmm. Did you get mad at your mom on your wedding day?
Not that I
were
remember.
Were you even stressed on your wedding day?
I feel like it was more nervous.
Mm.
I was like, I couldn't like eat anything. So first of all, I scheduled all of my wedding day so that I would not have to even be awake before 9 a.m. And I woke up at 5:30 and could not go back to sleep. Mm. And then I didn't go to bed until like 1 a.m. So I was awake for a very long time that day.
Yeah.
I was nervous just because we had done, I think it was more just like, we just did all this planning and it's just like this huge thing and you finally get to it and you're like, what if I forgot something? What if I missed something? What if I messed something up? Like all this other stuff. And so it was just like a lot of like nervous energy, I feel like, more than anything else. And I'm also so glad that we did a first look, because as soon as I like saw Michael, I was like, oh, thank God. I actually don't give a shit about anything else. It was very nice.
That's fair. I don't think Jess argued with her mom that, well, it would have been the day before.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
On the actual wedding day, maybe. I really don't remember.
Jessica was unfortunately not 100% well on her wedding day. She had quite the sinus infection or some kind of like nasal congestion. And
I had the sinus infection.
She had like no voice.
She had lost her voice leading up to it. I had the sinus infection because I was originally going to sing the daddy-daughter dance.
She also was sick, though. It wasn't just she lost a voice. Because remember, part of why she didn't come to the city was because she was sick, in addition to having a million things to do.
Oh, I mean, she definitely didn't have a sinus infection, because that was. I mean, I guess maybe she could have. We just said
she
no.
Had
but yeah,
some
she was,
kind of like nasal there was something. Issue.
Yeah, there was something. You're right. For sure. I forgot about that.
And we had to go get her like 600 medicine ball teas.
Yeah, I do remember that part now. But then once the wedding came, everything worked out and was perfect.
Yeah,
and
did you fight with your mom on the wedding day?
Don't even think I talked to her more than for 2 minutes.
Good times.
Yeah. So anyways, Don, the husband, I think his name is Don, right?
Yeah.
He goes, fuck the weddings, you stupid a-hole. Who cares? This is the gamble we need. They're right. And Weber brings us to the scene with Christina, where they're
watching the surgery.
They're watching the surgery.
You know, he apologizes. He's like, you know, sorry that I didn't win and you don't get to be in there. And she's like, it's okay. Like, it was, you know, you made a ballsy play. Like, that's a really intense plan to pitch, you know, for this whatever. And things start to go poorly in the OR. And Christina, like, buzzes down on the intercom. She's like, do you need me to scrub in? And Owen's like, no, I need Weber. So Richard, you know, immediately gets up and goes down to assist. They're kind
Christina
of
Christina
like,
also still just goes.
Yeah. They're kind of like not bickering back and forth, but like it's tense at first because Owen's like, we can't do your plan. Like, it's too late. And Richard's like, that's not what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying we have to do something different than what you're currently doing. And they talk it through and Owen's like, I need to take this fucking liver out to be able to do anything. And Weber's like, so let's just do that then. and so they do it. They take out the liver. They like take Richard takes the tumor parts off of, I guess, whatever parts of the liver are negatively impacted by that. And Owen does whatever he's doing in the actual abdomen. And then they bring it back together and everything's fine.
They use the phrase ex vivo again.
I know. I wrote that as well. I did. Yes.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, when Owen and Richard are telling Dawn that she's going to be okay or whatever, Meredith, Christina, and Jackson are watching like from the nurse's station, and they're like going back and forth about the Harper Avery or whatever. And Jackson's like, does this little like speech about like the innovation for medicine and being pushed to be the best we can be. And then Christina just immediately mocks the shit out of him. And it's so funny. I love her so much.
Yeah. This, when he says, well, what did she say? What was her exact mocking that she said?
And this message is brought to you by the Harper Avery Foundation.
So funny. I think I've mentioned this before, but when Jackson was talking about the Harper Avery and how it was meant to challenge doctors mm-hmm. at the top of their game and be better than their best, it always, anytime someone says to be better than their best, it brings me back to those old Kobe Bryant commercials and the one where Kanye is in it before he was a piece of shit. And well, before we knew he was a piece of shit. And he goes, Kobe Bryant, how many more records can my records break? And he's like, more records.
Yeah.
And Kanye's like, I don't even know if I can do that. And Kobe goes, but are you the same animal and a different beast? And Kanye just looks at him and goes, what the fuck does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
That's a good question.
And Kobe goes, you're welcome. And like, they're talking to, who's the big motivational speaker guy? Really big, Tony Spumoni. What's that from? Doug?
I don't know. I do appreciate you talking about it, but you have told this commercial before.
I know. I just love it. It lives rent free right here. And right, if Derek Shepherd ever removes my frontal cut lobe, in. I'll lose it forever.
Derek Shepherd cuts into Carmen's brain. There's just a little teeny tiny Kanye and a little teeny tiny Kobe Bryant yeah. running around in there.
Rest in peace. And then when Jackson says you're kind of a bitch, and then she says nepotism.com.
Yeah, donations to the foundation can be made at www.nepotism.com. You're kind of a bitch. And she goes, what? It was inspiring.
She's funny. She is funny.
And she's like, it immediately goes into the scene. Where
yeah,
Owen's
take
like,
take this scene. This is a good
work
scene.
Today, Meredith. Like, we're a good team. And she goes, you know, we're just not a team. Christina and I are a team. And today I watched you watch Teddy and Mark. And Owen goes, she's my friend. And Mark Sloan is a public health hazard. Rude. And Meredith says, you were jealous. It took a long time to make her, Christina, happy. And she's finally happy. And if you mess with that, I will turn on you. That's a team. And I'm like, mic drop and out.
Cunning.
I love
cunning.
It. I love it for her.
And she wasn't, the thing is she wasn't mean. She wasn't no. like, I'm going to kill you regardless. I'm just letting you know we're fine. But if you fuck this up, I will fuck you up. Mm-hmm. So we're status quo is fine, but just remember we're not a team, but status quo is fine. Very interesting. Very interesting that and that she saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Hunt was jealous. Hunt was like, whoa, like my girl and my other girl.
Mm-hmm.
No one can talk to either of them. And he was being yeah. possessive. And it's not a good look, Owen. It's not a good look.
It's weird vibes for sure. I like that Meredith specifically says she's happy, because I think the Christina we're seeing, like even in this episode when she's like mocking Jackson and then just like walking away laughing to herself, like there's a lot of episodes where she doesn't smile or like have any enjoyment outside of surgery. So I do think that we're in a point where she is having both. Like she is happy in her personal life, but she is also like thriving and happy at work. And yeah. it is true. It's been a long time to get back here. So Meredith is like, I'm ready to end you. Like, I'm not even going to give you the opportunity to fuck this up. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah. Putting the foot down. Just don't do it. If yeah. you see Christina walking down the street, no spoilies, right?
If you see Christina walking down the street, don't cheat on her with Teddy.
Yeah. Don't even think about cheating on Teddy or on her with Teddy. Don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it, Owen.
Yeah. So a good storyline. I like this. Mm-hmm. And she lives. We're led to believe that she gets to the wedding. She gets to go.
Yeah. No one dies in this episode. So that's a win. Not often that happens, but that made it really good.
I really enjoy a breath of fresh air where there was no death upon us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just to
and
wrap
very
this...
easily, they could have killed everyone in this episode.
That's true. They have done it before. Just to wrap this one up, at the end of it, Derek finds Richard and is like, hey, I heard like you were a huge help today. Like, basically saved the patient. Like, that's amazing. Congratulations. Derek starts to apologize, like, for not picking him in the first place. And Richard's like, don't worry about it. And then Derek says, like, you know, I'm still new at this job and I'm not very good at it. or Richard says, you're doing your job. It's not easy. And Derek says, true. And I'm not good at it yet. And Richard goes, you're not. And then just leaves. And Derek goes, you couldn't give me one kind word. And this, to me, very reminiscent of Mark telling Derek to give him a compliment. And Derek being like, well, if you have to ask for it, it's not a compliment.
Yeah.
Derek.
I want you all to know.
I will say, for the most part, though, I do think this is a good Derek episode. He actually didn't piss me off at all in this episode.
He's on a hot streak right now as far as Kelsey's concerned.
Two in a row, guys.
Count it! I want you all to know that if I ask you for a compliment and you give it to me, it is no less of value to me.
It is great. It's still a compliment. It counts.
Yeah. So my only beef with this here is... We're kind of getting, I really don't feel, okay, hold on. Let me get my thoughts all in a row here. My ADHD is like going four different thoughts at the same time. I don't feel like Weber and Derek's relationship that we had pre-established was one that was very sarcastic. And I know that they've been through kind of ups and downs with the coup and where, like, obviously Weber has gone through a relapse with alcoholism and Derek is now has his job. There's like a hurt that's there. But if this was supposed to be a moment where it shows that there is some healing taking place, sarcasm and like the jovial, you couldn't give me one kind word. And he kind of waves him off and he's like, no, I'm good. Have a good night.
Yeah.
Doesn't really, to me, fit like their relationship. It felt like a moment where Weber could have turned around and stopped and said, you know, something reassuring. I don't know. I just don't feel like it fit with the relationship that I am currently seeing. But I also, it's been a long time since we started with their relationship. And also, right, to be fair, the relationship started where Weber was purposefully pinning Derek and Preston against each other without either
also
of them knowing.
Also, then calling Addison because he didn't like who Derek was dating.
Right. So... yeah. I guess I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of concerns and questions, but it just didn't feel like it fit the mold of what they were doing with these characters is what I'm trying
interesting
to say.
I did not feel that way, but I have watched the show before, so I don't know.
You have. You have, in fact, watched the show before. So what else we want to talk about with a little bit of the time we have left? We could talk about the kid storyline. Mm-hmm. Or one of the other storylines.
I think we can probably squeeze in the Bailey Ben storyline.
Is that his first name? Ben?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ben Warren.
Ben Warren. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Bailey.
B&B. Although it's technically M&B.
Yeah.
Anyways. So.
Or BM.
Okay.
Bowel movement.
Thank you. Thank you so much for specifying. Nobody knew what you were getting at.
Some people wouldn't.
And so they are going to have another date. First of all, it's so cute. He's like, what are you doing tonight? And she goes, I have to go to yoga. And he goes, there's nothing about that sentence that makes sense to me.
you might as well be speaking a different language.
And she goes, the fascist vegan next door got me a yoga get class for Christmas and I have to go because the fascist vegan next door thinks it's going to make me a better person, which is unlikely. And then he says, oh, well, here's how you lie about that, which I love. So
his lie is also not wrong.
It's correct. He's doing a good job. So she's like, okay, fine, I'll have dinner with you. So then she goes to talk to Callie and she's like, I'm nervous. And it's so cute. She's nervous. I love it so much. I love this Bailey.
The storyline revolves around it's the third date, which also timeline didn't realize that they were already on multiple dates now. So third date, which the point of this conversation that Callie brings up, she's like, oh yeah, the sex date, third date. That's the one where you bone. And Bailey's like, ha ha. Oh, really?
She goes, she's cooking. He's cooking for you at his house where he keeps his bed, which I think is very funny.
Yeah.
So when she Bailey
goes, I barely know the man. And Callie goes, you're going to know him a lot better tomorrow.
Bailey has like so many questions and she's like, do I wear a dress? And Callie's like, no, no. Like, you know, you didn't expect it, but like you're ready. And Bailey's like, well, how ready? And she's like, you know, you've prepped the surgical field. You've shaved your vagina.
Yes.
And Bailey's like mortified and Callie just gives her the, she's like, there's a Ukrainian woman at the nail salon across the street and she will take good care of you. It's just a funny, funny dynamic in this entire scene. And I love it so much.
Yeah, that's it's, and when she leaves, during her lunch break and Derek's like, Dr. Bailey, Miranda, I would love for you to do the surgery with me. And she's like, I have lunch. I have things to do. And he's like, well, are you sure? Do you want to cancel lunch? Like you're leaving? Like I'm asking you to do the surgery. And when she says, that like, you don't micromanage me. Is this the kind of, chief that you want to be?
Is this the kind of man you want to be? It's so funny. It's so funny.
And Derek she's like,
I gotta go to the bank. I gotta go get a haircut. Not a haircut.
That's too funny.
It's so funny. So then she goes back to Callie and she's like,
going back to Callie.
She's like, oh, I went to that woman and she held up two stamps and asked me if I wanted the 44 cent or the three, which flashback to when stamps were 44 cents.
How much are they now?
Like 65.
Oh, inflation.
I'll tell you. And so, yeah, Callie's like, you don't need to tell me which one you picked. And Bailey's like, I left. Because I just am not going to shave my vagina because I'm a grown ass adult woman. And I say full support because you can just like not need to look like a prepubescent child to have sex. But if you want to, that's fine. But I'm what bothers me is when people do it because their partner is like, you have to do that because that's not your body. So I don't think you should tell people what to do with their bodies.
My personal preference is everyone shaved at all time, always. But I want you to know that, never mind. We're going to get it. Not going to get into it. let's just say my surgical field can use a little bit of prep. I got to go call. What does Bailey call her? A member of the Ukrainian KGB.
KGB. Yeah, it's funny. Which side note, I've been watching now the 10th season of The Blacklist because they put it on Netflix and it is just not as good as the earlier seasons, but I can't stop watching.
So is the 10th the final season or did they renew?
They haven't said that it is, so I don't think it is.
Yeah, I need to. That's a show that I definitely need to just sit there and rewatch because it got really weird and I stopped watching.
Don't worry, it's not gotten any better. I just can't. I've committed so much time to it that I'm just going to keep going.
That's fair. I get it.
Excuse me.
When she says a woman was meant to have something on her surgical field, a little nature, a little God, let freedom ring.
I'm not telling you what to do. Let freedom ring. And then they have like such a good moment of like vulnerability.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, what if I can't do this? Like I haven't done this in so long. What if I am not like cut out for it? And Callie goes and gives her a hug and she's like, you can do whatever. Like you don't have to do anything a certain way. Like you do what like you are okay with and it will be okay. So
it was a really cute scene.
It was
Callie, man, we'll talk about that end scene later because I have a lot of feelings. But it is
it is so good to see Callie is kind of the soundboard for this entire mm-hmm. episode. And Bailey is going through a full range of emotion, a full growth, a full kind of like coming of age tale, even in her own right in this episode. And it's just really cool. So then when she talks about the condom scene,
oh my gosh, so funny.
So funny. When she says, who brings the condom on the date? And then Callie's like, well, I mean, just don't even trust the guy to do it. Like, you might as well just bring it yourself. Yeah, that's fair. Let the guy off the hook. But also, guys, if you're listening out there, just always be prepared, okay? Because STDs, unplanned pregnancy risk, it's just not worth it. Just everyone should have condoms on them at all times if you're single.
Oh.
If you're single and sexually active, just keep a condom, you know? But they do expire, so rotate them out.
Yeah, make sure you're keep storing them correctly and in your wallet is not that.
Correct.
So yeah, she says like, oh, the guy should bring them, but you know, he might also be like, oh, I would never expect this to happen so fast. And then she asks her to go get them. And Callie's like, no, you can walk into the clinic and take some condoms. And Bailey goes, do not make me ask you twice.
She's so funny.
She is. So then there's not another one before they have the date, right? It just goes
That was the last thing that I have.
Yeah. So then they go, they show at Ben's apartment. And she's kind of just like taking it all in and zoning out. And he's talking.
There are so many flowers on that date. So many flowers.
He likes, you know, I like fresh flowers at my house.
How many fresh flowers do you have in your house right now?
I actually, for Michael's birthday, bought 3 different bouquets to take apart and put together into what I think is a much more attractive bouquet. So
one bouquet.
Yes.
Actually, I think are those flowers on your bookshelf over there? Are those real flowers? Or
those are fake flowers. Those are actually the flowers from Lauren's wedding.
Oh, I could tell.
Clearly.
I could tell.
I'm all about some flowers. You know, I think it's an easy way to make a home look nice and just elevate it a little bit. It just makes me happy to see them. Although now mine are dying, flowers. That makes me sad.
I would do flowers more, but our cat eats the fucking flowers.
Yeah, I don't. Yes, I agree. That's definitely a big problem area with pets in general. Yeah. But specifically cats, because there are so many kinds of flowers that kill cats.
Really?
Like, it's like literally so many. And all they have to do, it's like, oh, did your cat look at a lily? Dead.
Huh.
Like, lilies are one of the worst ones. And also, I love lilies. They're honestly like stunningly beautiful. One of my favorite flowers. But the stamens in them are fucking huge. And the pollen gets everywhere if you like breathe near it. But
I am concerned that a lot of flowers kill cats.
Or make them very, very ill. Yes.
Okay.
All right. It's kind of shocking that cats have like survived so long. Because so many things in nature, if they eat them, they just get sick or die.
Sheesh. All right. Anyways.
But if you buy some catnip, she won't die from that. She'll just nibble on it and then be stoned as fuck.
She probably needs some catnip. She needs to just like chill. And she needs a fucking haircut.
Please. Please get her a lion haircut again.
I have to. All right. So we're on the date. Zoning out. Lots of flowers. Take it from there.
She starts to get like super in. She starts to do a Bailey speech, right? She starts to do like a launch into like, I'm going to tell you how this is going to go. And he stops her and he goes, are you lecturing me? And she goes, no. And he goes, well, you are. You lecture people and you think because people are scared of you, no one will interrupt you. But I'm not scared of you. So you cannot lecture me. We can have a conversation. So if you have a question, you can ask it and then I'll answer it. And then you can have a turn. And this scene is quite possibly the best example of communication we have seen in this entire series.
And of course it involves Bailey, which is so funny.
He's just like, we can be adults and talk through things. Like, if you have a question, I am happy to hear it. I will answer it. If I have a question, I'll like, and it's just like, truly, like, neither of them are judgy. They're just open communication. And like, wow, look at that. No one died. No one burst into flames.
Yeah, it's true. And
so she asks, you know, are you under the impression if we're going to have sex? And then starts to do another lecture. And he's like, no, no. You do the question and then I do the answer. And then he answers and he says, I'm not assuming that we'll have sex. You're a grown woman. And I don't think that we're looking for like trashy or like nothing. So I kind of thought it was a little early. What did you think? And she said she agreed. And then she says, am I allowed to make a statement and or just questions? And then she tells him, I've never had sex with anyone other than my former husband. And he says, so it's not something you get into lightly. And she says, no. And he says, I'm same as me. And she says, well, when do you think it's the right time? And she's like, I don't know. I think we'll just like take it and see. And then she says, like, so, you know, you're not just going to be like, oh, we should just be friends. And he's like, I'm good on friends. I've actually got enough of those. I have no interest in being your friend. And it's just like, ugh, chef's kiss. What a great scene.
Yeah.
Love her. Love him with her. Like, I'm all there for it.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I liked about this particular scene. He cuts her off when she mm-hmm. starts to revert, right? The question mm-hmm. piece where she's like, well, how do you expect to have sex? Because I, and he's like, no, you're good. You're good.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer this. And when she says like how long, and he's like, I don't know, whatever. But then he says like, I don't know, 8 to 12 dates. Like, to me, that seems like a long time. I also have not been in the dating scene for a long time. But yeah, it's I get where the nervousness is. I see where the concern is. And also, we have seen over the last couple of episodes that Bailey is kind of like schoolgirl giddy around Ben, you know, and it's cute. And there are some nerves, and Bailey's used to being the confident one. And now this guy is. And even if he is, like, he doesn't want to screw it up, which obviously you shouldn't. This is Bailey we're talking about. It's nice that he's able to put her at ease without coming across as like
condescending.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was really cute. So, but when he says, I'm solid on friends. Yeah. Don't not worry.
Yeah, I actually like, don't need any more of those. I'm super set.
Yeah, which respect. I feel that. I don't need no more friends.
Yeah.
The other day I was telling Jess, like, I have no desire to hang out with anyone that I work with outside of work, like ever. ever.
They don't find this podcast.
I mean, there's a couple.
Yeah, backtrack.
None of them in my location. It's all my peers. I got cool peers. Anyways.
Right. Well, anything left to say for them before we pause and move to part two?
No, but I will. Well, yes. One thing. Sorry. I said no. And then I was going to say a thing.
No, but I will say this thing.
Yes. My answer is yes. And I will say this thing. I really thought they were going to have sex this episode. I thought they were going to. They were going to like, oh, like, okay. The honesty is honesty is the world's largest aphrodisiac, which is true. But I am going to make an official prediction about them. Mm-hmm. Next episode, we're going to start with waking up in their bed, and they will have had sex.
On this night? Like, is it the next morning?
On this night of sex.
The honesty night?
The honesty night.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
Do you think then, if that is the case, do you think he was being honest and it just went that way? Or do you think he was lying to get her into bed?
I think that he was being honest and it just went that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, find us in the next episode, and we will start with everyone's favorite segment.